talking about actually the expression of four antimicrobial peptide genes in house flies, and possibly species-specific or species-related recognition of bacteria. So my lab, we work mainly with housefly immunology these days, and we're all interested, all the housefly people here are interested in houseflies because they are filth breeders and feeders, and they the larvae actually need to ingest bacteria to survive. And although they have been one of the few metazoans to thrive in this environment, the reason they are one of the few metazoans to thrive in this environment is because they are very resistant to infection and disease. They harbor numerous, up to 100 species of bacteria alone, and yet are impervious to their ill effects. Houseflies are important pests. They're nuisance alone, and of course, since they feed on decomposing material, they're vectors and transporters for diseases. So that's why we work with them. So the resistance of houseflies to various microbes can be mediated by lots of things, including physical barriers such as the cuticle, the PM lining the gut. But what I'm interested in looking at in my lab is the immune response. So insects do have an immune system. It is entirely innate. There's no acquired immunity, which means that there's no immunological memory. There are cellular components of the immune response involving hemocytes that could become other types of cells, and they basically engulf or encapsulate invaders. They circulate in the hemolymph. And then there's a humoral immune response, which are secreted components, and the main one that I work with are antimicrobial peptides. These are effector molecules. So in this little sketch that I did of the immune response, what we can think about are local responses where epithelial tissues respond to microorganisms. They don't necessarily have to be out of the PM. They can respond to broken down products such as peptidoglycan that bind receptors and turn on pathways. There's also communication on the between the local levels and the systemic response, which involves the immune organ, the general immune organ of insects, the fat body. And what we know from Drosophila is that the insect immune response, especially in dipterans, is basically two main pathways. The Toll pathway is responsive to fungal antigens and to gram-positive bacteria, which have a lyse-type peptidoglycan, binds receptors called Toll. We have analogous receptor and an analogous system in vertebrates in innate immunity, and eventually results in the transcription of several immune responsive genes such as drosomycin, defensin, and others. The IMD pathway mainly responds to gram-negative bacteria because they have a DAP-type peptidoglycan, and that binds, there's many classes of PGRPs, peptidoglycan recognition proteins, turns on a cascade, and then eventually turns on genes that respond to gram-negative bacteria, such as dipterocin. The important thing here is that there is some cross-regulation of these pathways, and it's not entirely microbe-specific, but it seems to be class-specific. So this is what we know from Drosophila, and I started doing some work with houseflies and realized that it didn't look like it. We had these clear lines of defense, and so that's what this talk is about. So some of the genes we know from Drosophila, which has made it a bit easy to find some of these genes in my library, are, and the genes of interest in this study are TASIN, which, and where it says anti-gram negative or anti-gram positive, this means that it is effective on either those cell walls or cell membranes and things. So we know what their aim is based on their effectiveness. So you can make recombinant atacin and put it in with gram-negative bacteria and it lyses them. So that's what I mean here. So atacin is mainly anti-gram negative. Defensin is mainly anti-gram positive. This is all from Drosophila. Sacropin, anti-gram negative, maybe a little more broad spectrum. And then dipterocin, anti-gram negative. And there's a lot of other antimicrobial peptides such as antifungals, and that's beyond the scope of today's talk. In this study, I looked at these four, atacin, defensin, sacropin, and dipterocin. which we've all been able, which we've been so far able to pull out of my immune stimulated library. I have a collaboration with Clemson, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. I'm not presenting any of that stuff today, but we've been able to pull out some of these genes full sequence for them. And what I've done is induced expression of these genes using various things, including injection and feeding of microbes, and looked at the time course of expression, so when are they on, when are they off, for how long, and looked whether or not there was species-specific rather than just class-specific expression. So microinjection, most of the studies you see on insect immunology, everybody injects microbes, which I'll talk about the fault in that, I guess. But if you want to turn genes on in insects, certainly inject them. Traumatic injury, their immune system just gets completely activated, so we can microinject them. But to more naturally replicate what happens in nature, I wound up feeding them microbes. And rather than just starve them and feed them a droplet, I took anesthetized or chilled flies and pressed them into a lawn of bacteria. For my representative gram-negative species, I used E. coli, Serratia, and Enterobacter. And for gram-positive, I used Enterococcus, relevant to today's talk, Staph, and Bacillus. So yes, when you microinject with any kind of microbe, even PBS slightly, it does turn on most of these, or most of the different classes of microbes turn on most of the genes, maybe not so much diptericin, but these three are gram-negatives, these three are gram-positives, and all of those genes are pretty much upregulated. This positive control is a gram-positive, gram-negative, and a fungus, actually, so that really cranks up stuff. But you see in the tenural state, so having been newly closed, these genes aren't normally on. And even in PBS injected that feed on bacteria on their water sponge and everything in the cage, they're just not normally on. Okay, so, but injection does turn on all of those genes. Quickly so I can get to the good stuff. This injection does, or this upregulation lasts for at least 12 hours, and other data I'm not showing here shows that it sometimes lasts for as much as 24 hours, where you have, and these are live bacteria, so you have this massive invasion in the hemocele. All right, so, but what is the biological significance of this? You know, microinjecting with bacteria is not biologically significant. If a fly gets injected or traumatized in nature, it's probably being eaten or stepped on or swatted with a tail, and it's going to die. So that's always the criticism I had of all of the Drosophila papers and lots of mosquito papers and papers that I even did, that, you know, microinjection means nothing from a biological standpoint. Flies land on substrates and groom and ingest bacteria. So what happens when they ingest bacteria? Well, this gigantic northern blot happens, but very complicated, lots of different stuff here. Big picture, what I'm trying to show is in purple, for easy sake, is gram-positive. Pink is gram-negative. And we see that, you know, these classes of genes, number one, are not turned on just by gram-positive, gram-negative ingestion, infection. The temporal regulation is different. The classes don't, defensin, classically associated with gram-positive infections in everything from tsetse to Drosophila, seems to be the primary antimicrobial peptide in the housefly midgut, okay? Diptericin also. I'm going to show graphical representations of this in a second. The other important thing I want to point out here, while I can still see the northern, atacin, which is turned on by injection, not turned on at all by feeding. I'll tell you that if you feed a tsetse fly E. coli, it turns on atacin. If you feed Drosophila E. coli, it turns on atacin. Houseflies, different. So, you know, not all dipterans are the same. I read my grant reviews. They're not all the same. And, I mean, you know, finally I have some evidence of that. Oral challenge, where they're just allowed to groom themselves and feed on bacteria, their ventral surface and their feet were pressed into it, does turn on a lot of those genes, not atacin. I certainly don't have enough time to discuss all this today, but Cecropin, turned on by both gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria. You could see that sometimes, just for example, with something like Staph, not on early, on late, something like E. coli, highly upregulated early, off late. And I'm going to speculate why this stuff happens in a second. Defensin and Diptericin seem to be the main lines of defense in the midgut. Now, we haven't looked at, I actually pulled out a couple new genes recently. We're going to try to look at everything. But in these are the main antimicrobial peptides in most dipterans. Defensin and Diptericin seem to be important in houseflies. Why? I can't even begin to speculate. All right. Conclusion. Oh, thanks. Injury induces responses, not natural. You don't get micro-injected in nature, so who cares? Ingestion, though, turns on various classes of amps, the non-attassins, so houseflies are different than other dipterans. Okay? And we don't see gram-positive bacteria turn on toll genes, IMD, or gram-negative bacteria turn on IMD genes. It's just not the case in houseflies. It's probably not the case in other insects if they took a more detailed look. Expression seems to be dependent on bacterial species. But I'm not saying that there is truly species-specific recognition, okay? So there's no acquired immunity. There's probably not species-specific recognition. It probably is a much bigger picture where it's all related to the microbial symbiosis, okay? So there's probably, these genes are not normally on. Houseflies ingest bacteria all the time. Okay, but if you dip them in a plate of bacteria or you give them a certain dose, it turns them on. They clearly cannot have them on all the time because it would be very costly energetically. Okay, but there must be a minimum dose that turns these things on. I think that minimum dose differs from one species of bacterium to another, and it's probably related to whether or not that organism is a possible pathogen of the fly or can be a pathogen, whether it's a harmless commensal, whether it's something the fly normally sees. Okay, we saw a weird response to Staph epidermidis. That's not in feces. Okay, that's not something flies normally see. So I think it's very, very complicated. We're just beginning to look at this. But that the immune response is only turned on when necessary. It's a very efficient system because of the nature of where flies live. Okay, so what we're doing now is actually dissecting various organs and looking at local versus systemic responses, determining minimum doses of bacteria. This is some stuff my students are working on. We're going to eventually feed dead bacteria, see if it does the same thing, so see if multiplication of bacteria is important. And then to see location, we found, and my student talked about this on Monday, if you were there, bacteria never escape the PM. They just don't, okay? There's no... From what I've seen, and I've been working with houseflies for a long time, there's no such thing as flora in houseflies. It's all transient. If you put a housefly in a cage, they will get rid of everything that's there except a few things that they keep recontaminating themselves with from the environment. Nothing escapes the PM, and it stays within the inner membrane. So protozoa do, but bacteria do not. So that's all important in turning on those pathways. And I'd like to thank my collaborators at Clemson, all of my mostly undergrad students who help with all this stuff, and then Sherry and Leslie were people that help with the fly colony. Thanks. Sorry for going too long.